Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. Our latest DVD and high-definition downloadable tutorial videos are Learning CCK and Learning Views, available now at store.lullabot.com. In today's podcast, Kent Bai interviews Brad Bowman.
I'm Brad Bowman. I work for Atten Design Group. We're a web design and development firm based out of Denver, Colorado. And I was doing usability testing on Drupal Core at the University of Baltimore last week. And that involved a lot of sitting in a dark, cramped, hot room on the other side of a one-way mirror watching people try to use Drupal. So kind of the setup there is they would get to the lab at the University of Baltimore and do a 5 to 10 minute interview with Becca Scollin, who is a graduate student there and was kind of our contact at the university. And they'd just talk about what kind of sites they'd built, how much experience they had with not only Drupal, but with the web in general, and just kind of give an overview of their experience. And then eventually she would come back into the room that we were in and talk to them through a one-way mirror and just ask them to complete a series of tasks that we had set up that we were interested in seeing the usability of.
So one thing that happens is that there's specific tasks that people are kind of trying to do with Drupal, certain things they're trying to achieve, and you could almost tailor the usability for Drupal for that very specific task. And how do you balance creating a CMS that is supposed to be designed to be so flexible as to serve everybody but also be usable?
That's a really good question. I think we have significant challenges compared to some of the other projects that are in our space, and that Drupal is really complex, and we really don't want to dumb that down, but we do want to take what we have and make it as usable as possible. I'm not sure what the solution there is, if there is, like, you know, a silver bullet, but I think the thing to do is just to keep testing, figure out where people are having problems, and then make incremental improvements based on that. And, you know, like I said, I don't think there's, like, any one thing we can do from here. I think we need to take small steps and test, and then take small steps and test again. Just kind of move that direction.
How can you be for sure that these 11 people that you tested are representative enough to make sweeping changes across all of Drupal? And just talk a little bit about how big of a sample size you really need to be able to do this.
You know, that's a really good question. I'm actually not really aware of the math that governs that, but Bojan and Becca, who are kind of the usability experts who are with us, were both, you know, they really wanted to see at least 8 people, and they were convinced that 8 people was a representative sample size. I think it's also worth noting that the people we tested weren't beginners, so the changes that we're proposing aren't changes based on people with no prior experience with Drupal. A lot of these people, I think like 6 or 7 of them, had used Drupal before. With the 11 people we tested, they had a combined 96 years of experience doing web development. So these are not people who shouldn't be able to use Drupal. It's a reasonable expectation that they'd be able to do things.
You had mentioned that you didn't think we needed eye tracking or big fancy equipment. So what do you think we propose that should we have more ad hoc usability sessions, and how would you envision those would look?
Yeah, I think a huge thing is just for developers to be aware of the user. I think you get a lot just out of that. I know for a long time I developed software and just never really thought about the user. It was like, if this works, it's good. I've hit spec, that's great. And just even being more aware that there's an end user and thinking about what makes sense to them and what might be confusing, you can get a lot of mileage just out of that. I won't say that eye tracking wasn't useful at all, but I will say that I think that we could have found 90 to 95% of what we did without using eye tracking. And I think it'd be great if people, you know, some of the patches in the queue that are kind of big UI changes, people could find, you know, maybe some of their friends that had used Drupal a little bit but weren't Drupal experts, and sit down and have them use the software for a few minutes and just observe what they do.
Tell us a little bit about your process as far as gathering all the different data, and you guys have built a whole Drupal site, so talk a little bit about that.
So the process was pretty much that, you know, we'd do a testing session, which was anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, and then we'd all sit down as a group and spend as much time as we could, usually about an hour per person, just going through what are the things that worked out, what did they have problems with. Every time we found a new issue, we would create a sticky note and put it up on a board that we were tracking everything on. So by the end of the week, we have, you know, 80 to 100 sticky notes on the walls. And from there, we took them all, and one task at a time, we'd take them down and kind of try to group those into larger conceptual issues and try to figure out, like, you know, not just what are the individual things, but can these things be grouped into something a little bit larger that's a conceptual issue? So we did that, and then once we had those groupings in, we would input them into a website that we were building based on, we would track them by the participant and by the task and then by the conceptual issue that we found. And that was pretty much it. It was a lot of analysis. I'd say we probably did at least 2 hours of analysis for every hour of watching somebody that we did. So
what were some of your insights of help texts that people, like, what, I know there's a lot of different help texts throughout Drupal. Did people find that helpful or sometimes unhelpful?
Yeah, I found that people only really read help text when they don't know what to do. Particularly, my favorite help text is the taxonomy help text, which is probably about a page and a half of text explaining the entire taxonomic system. And that in particular was not helpful at all, because people would get there and they didn't, you know, even people who kind of conceptually understood what taxonomy was would start reading that and they would just like have no idea what to do with it. So they'd read these 2 pages of text and then it's like, well, what do I do now? So I think in a lot of areas, we just need to push people to figure things out by experimenting, by trying it out, rather than giving them a big block of help text to try to make them understand the entire concept from the beginning.
What happens next with all this data? Is it going to be going live, or what do you hope to see the community do with all this test results since you've gathered a whole lot of data on this?
Well, we confirmed a lot of kind of the larger overarching conceptual issues, which is that like the admin pages are a little bit overwhelming and things like taxonomy are a little bit overwhelming and menus are a little bit overwhelming. And a lot of those I think are going to be kind of bigger discussions in the Drupal community of how we deal with them. And those might take, you know, I don't know if those will get fixed for Drupal 7 or if that's going to be something that we're going to attack in the future, but probably 75% of the issues we found are really low-hanging fruit, like the kind of thing that somebody who's never contributed to Drupal core can probably fix in an hour or so. Just, you know, add a link here or fix the help text here, and those would be vast improvements over what we have now. So we're opening up the site that we built last week, which is drupalusability.org, and in our presentation, we're going to announce the URL for that. And I hope people just take a look at that and attack those issues.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brad.
Yep, thank you.